Blog Talk Radio.
That we've been had called the man of sin, and talking about the mystery of iniquity. So in 2 Thessalonians 2nd chapter, so also our tags today, mystery, remember, revealed, iniquity, and wicked. So our historian is trying to lay a foundation. We weren't on the air last week, the week before last, we did part three. So kind of got to jump around to deal with this kind of a subject with this man of sin. But just want to let you know, and so that the main thing is what we're trying to establish, the time that we're living in, how this thing is getting all set up for this man of sin, which we dub him as the Antichrist. And John also already let us know in many centuries ago about Antichrist. And he went on to say, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. For every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is the spirit of Antichrist. So, and he went on to say, you have overcome them, little children. What? Who is the them? Antichrist. He said, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we thank God. So at this time, without any further ado, we're going to give you into the hand of our historian in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to be back once again speaking the word of God unto you all. Thank God for Elder Cannon once again hosting this show and leading us on in truth. Amen. We want to get quickly into the word. We are again discussing the man of sin. Just to reiterate, we are discussing that man out of 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Let no man deceive you, third verse, by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And so we've been talking the last few weeks about that man of sin and the characteristics of that man and the ministry that that man is going to bring. And we know that the church is what is withholding this man from being revealed. He that letteth will not let until he be taken out of the way. That is talking about the church. We discussed about the rapture. And once the rapture takes place, that is when the man of sin will be revealed, He will first come on a white horse, bringing peace. Then he will come on the red horse, bringing war, particularly nuclear war. Then he will ride the black horse, which is famine, which is what is the result of a nuclear war and nuclear fallout. And then he will reveal himself after famine on the pale horse, where his name is revealed, Death, and he is the father of death and the bringer of death. And we want to make note that these things are coming to pass. They're going to come to pass very quickly. These warnings have been out there for years, that the end is coming near. Many times we are seen as crazy or seen as lunatics, but Peter said in his second epistle, I believe, that in the end there will come scoffers saying, where is thy Lord and when is he coming?
Mockers.
They will be mocking us, and we have plenty of those in this world today. But Jesus himself said in the 24th chapter of Matthew, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And in today's age, there's been so many wars globally, and we hear about these wars nonstop. There's a conflict going on in Syria right now where they're looking to overthrow that government. There's conflicts. There's been recent conflicts in Iran. We know of the conflict in Iraq. There's conflict in Afghanistan. All of these wars and rumors of wars, also in Egypt, and then the economic failings in Italy and the economic failings in Greece, these all come to lead us unto a one-world government where the man of sin will be revealed and take over power. And it's interesting to note that all of those countries that I've just mentioned were countries that have come up against Israel and put Israel in bondage, and they all have to be judged because they have come up against Israel. So, when we left off last week, we were in the 12th chapter of Revelation, speaking about the woman and the man-child and the great dragon setting up there's going to be a war in heaven, an angelic war, where the third part of the angels that the devil has deceived, or that Satan has deceived, will come up against Michael and Gabriel and the other two-thirds of the angels, and at that point, the angels that are with God will overcome those angels that have rebelled against God, and they will be cast out of heaven, and they will have to go down to the earth, and that is where they will try to persecute Israel. They will chase that woman, which is Israel, into the wilderness, where she will have to take safe haven for a time, a times, and a time and a half, which is a period of 3.5 years. That is what's going to be called the Great Tribulation that Israel will have to go through. And then we also picked up in the 13th chapter and started talking about the beast, which is another name for the man of sin or the son of perdition or the Antichrist. And this man was he's described as having 7 heads and 10 horns, with having crowns on each horn. Horns in biblical language represent kings. So there's going to be 10 kings that he's going to have control of, and he is going to give them power, but they are going to sell themselves out to this man. When I mentioned all of these, once again, in Revelation, it's all figurative language. All of these things that you see, these beasts, the horns, the locusts, the the beast that looks like a lamb and speaks like a dragon. These are all men, or all figurative language speaking of things that have to do with the Old Testament and relating them unto the man, unto a man. If you look at the book of Daniel, Daniel had the same vision that John has had speaking about this. When he saw there was an image, and the image had a head of gold and a breast of silver, thighs of copper, legs of iron, and feet of clay and iron. And these all represented kings and kingdoms, and they represented the Babylonian kingdom was the head of gold. The Medo-Persian kingdom was that breast of iron or breast of silver. The Grecian kingdom was the legs of iron. And then there's the ten toes, which has yet to be fulfilled. And those are going to be fulfilled in the time of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is going to have the characteristics of all four of those kingdoms, the Babylonian kingdom, the Medo-Persian kingdom, the Grecian kingdom, and the Roman kingdom. And he's going to revive the old Roman Empire. John said later on in the book of the Revelation, I believe it's the 17th chapter, that there's five kingdoms, four have fallen, one is and one is to come. And that going back unto Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and Medo-Persia and Greece, and then the one that was at that time was Rome. Rome had fallen and had a wound that it was a deadly wound, but it will be revived in the time of the Antichrist, and it will bring the old Roman Empire worship back into play, and that will be his form of worship, where he will sit in the temple and be worshipped. But as we go back into the 13th chapter of the Revelation, we see that he was a beast like unto a leopard that represents the Grecian kingdom or Alexander the Great. It was a very swift, very fast growing empire. Alexander the Great reached all the way from Greece all the way into parts of India, and he did this all in a period of about 3 years, and he died when he was 30 years old. So you know that he had to be very swift with the way that he conquered land. And then he had the feet of a bear. He was very powerful, as the Persian Empire was. They were very strong and very stable with what they did, and they lasted for a number of years. And there was the mouth of the lion that represents the Babylonian kingdom. They were very bloodthirsty people, and they looked to destroy their enemies and devour them. And then it says that the dragon gave him his power. So this man derives all of his power from Satan. All of his might, he derives it from Satan. He is a direct product of Satan. Satan will actually possess this man and give him all of the wonders and all of the power that he will have, and his seat and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast. Once again, this is what the devil is after.
Yeah.
This is his main desire, is to be worshiped. When he had Jesus Christ, when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights after he fasted, the tempter came to him, and the first thing he wanted Jesus to do was turn the stones into bread. And Jesus came back with a scripture that says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The second thing that the tempter wanted him to do was to jump off of the temple, jump off the pinnacle of the temple, and have the angels take charge over him, lest thou dash thy feet, taking that out of Psalms 91 and 11. And Jesus replied to him, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And the third thing that the tempter wanted him to do was to, he said he would give him all the kingdoms in the world. He would give him all the power and all the glory he wanted. All he had to do was bow down and worship me.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus replied to him, "Get thee hence, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God."
Him only shall thou serve.
Amen. So you will only serve the Lord. That is our purpose. We are to serve God. Hear ye, O Israel, our Lord is one Lord. Amen. We serve one God. And the devils know that we serve one God. The book of James tells us that the devils know that there's one God, and they tremble at him. When Jesus came upon that legion, they said, "Have you come to torment us before our time?" They know their time. They know their time has come, but they know that God works in order, and God's always going to work in order, and the devil's main objective is to make us break the order of God so that we will damn ourselves or curse ourselves. So you can't let the devil trick you. You can't let the devil fool you. You can't fall to his wiles, as the Bible says. You have to stand strong and stand there for putting on the whole armor of God and fight as a soldier. So now, but at the time when the church is taken out of here, grace is taken out of here, the Holy Ghost is taken out of here, and now this man of sin or the Antichrist is going to have free reign to demand worship, just as Nebuchadnezzar did, built that golden image and had everybody, when the music played, they had to bow down and worship that image. The only one that did not bow down and worship him was Daniel, and they, or was it?
The three Hebrew men.
It was the three Hebrew men, I'm sorry. And what did they do? They threw them into the fiery furnace. And they were going to be killed and martyred because they would not worship after the beast. There are going to be people that are not going to worship the image that the beast is going to put into the temple and put into the place of worship, and they will have to be martyred. Amen?
Amen. Just want to give out the card number. Those that's listening online, they'll see it if they're on Blog Talk, but those on Facebook, they can click on the link, and on Twitter. And thank God for you Twitter listeners, Facebook followers, and the Blog Talk followers. But should you not have the number, call-in number, should you have a question, should you have a comment, 646-716-6566. 646-716-6566.
Amen. And so they are going to give this man worship. They're going to worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Who is going to be able to stand up against him?" They are actually going to believe that he is more powerful than God. They are actually going to worship him as God. And they worship the dragon, which gave the power to, or verse number 5, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. How long is 42 months? 3.5 years. This is the time that he is going to have to get his worship. It's 3.5 years. It's the same period of time where he's going to persecute Israel. It's the same amount of time that there's going to be a declaration that he is God in this world. But at the end of that 3.5 years, he is going to have to fight against Jesus Christ at his second coming. When we read this, when the heavens will roll back as a scroll, and Jesus Christ will enter into the atmosphere with his armies, fighting and taking out those that come up against him, and making war against the beast, and will defeat the beast. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. How is he going to do this? He's going to claim that he is God, and that all the power that is given unto him was given unto him by God, and that he is going to be the God of this world. That is blasphemy, to give credit to the devil, where, or give credit to the devil where it's supposed to be God. Amen.
Amen.
And so it said, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. These are not the New Testament saints. These are not the saints of the church. These are not the saints of the body of Christ. These are not the saints that are living today in this world. These are not the saints that were brought up in the apostolic doctrine. These are what's called the tribulation saints, because the saints of the New Testament, the saints of the New Testament church, are taken out. We have exited the earth's atmosphere in chapter number 4 when he says, come up hither. We are in heaven at this point. We are at the throne at this point. These are not New Testament saints. These are tribulation saints. And it says he will make war against them, and he will have the power to overcome them, and power was given over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. God already knows who's in the book. God already knows who will dedicate themselves unto him. God already knows who will worship after him, who will follow after him, who will believe in his word. He already knew this from before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world for those who God knew would follow after him.
Right, his foreknowledge.
Is according to his foreknowledge, and then according to that foreknowledge, he predestined us to be with him. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to the book of Acts in the second chapter. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter began preaching, he says in the second chapter, verse number 23, starting at verse number 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This is all according to God's foreknowledge that he was sacrificed for you. He knew that the Jews would reject him. He knew that they would crucify him. He knew that they would talk about him and backbite against him and lie on him and beat him and mangle him and hang him up on a cross and let him hang there. Amen. He knew that this would happen to him. This is all according to his foreknowledge.
Right.
But it was preordained by God that he would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And God has raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible he should be holding of it, because he knew that he had the power to resurrect himself, because he was the resurrection. Amen. Let's also go into the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, and reading in the first chapter in the fourth verse, according as he has chosen us being the saints of God, the saints of the New Testament church, because that's who he's writing this letter to, Paul. He wrote to the saints which are at Ephesus, the ones that are in Christ. So anybody that is in Christ and living within the bounds or the living within the body of Christ, they are part of that us.
Yeah.
He has chosen us in him, in Christ Jesus, before the foundation of the world. Even before you were born, you were preordained and you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Why? Because you had the gospel preached to you before this world was ever laid out in creation. God created everything in his mind. He drew up a plan. He drew up a blueprint, and then he carried out that blueprint. We are just part of the blueprint right now, but he preached to us way before the foundation of the world. He knew that that lamb had to be slain before the foundation of the world. He knew who would have to be covered by the blood before the foundation of the world. He knew who would accept the gospel before the foundation of the world. He knew who would reject the gospel before the foundation of the world. He knew who he could choose before the foundation of the world. He knew who would not choose him before the foundation of the world. He did not preordain you because of your birthright. He did not preordain you because of who you are, who your mama was, who your daddy was. He chose you because you chose him and you believed on his gospel and believed in his word.
Yeah.
He had chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us to be holy. There's nothing. There's no way around that. You can't choose how you want to be holy. You can't choose how you want to live this life, because once you are in Christ, once you are bought by the blood of Christ, you are no longer belonging to yourself, but you belong to him, and you should follow after him according to how he has bought you and purchased you with his own blood, because he purchased his church with his own blood. It says God did this in the book of Acts. The 20th chapter, 28th verse. He laid down his life for you. He laid down his life that you may have life eternal. Amen?
Amen.
So now he has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It is all according to his will that he predestined you, that because you believed in him, because you heard that gospel and said, yes, Lord, I will follow after you at the appointed time.
Yeah.
Everyone has their appointed time when they have the gospel preached unto them, and they are judged according to the knowledge of the gospel that they had. If they did not have the full gospel preached unto them, they will be judged according to the knowledge of God that they had and how they walked in circumspectly to God and his laws and his will.
Yeah.
We have to be in the will of God in order to make it. Amen.
Amen.
Or if we're not in the will of God, if we do not follow after that, we will not be written in the Lamb's book of life, and we will not be able to obtain the life that is destined for mankind. Amen. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So let's go back into the Revelation, the 13th chapter. Power was given unto the beast to make war with the saints and overcome them, and the powers was given over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Let him understand. If you are listening to this broadcast right now and you are not living according to what God has called you for, you need to get it right today. Amen. You need to find yourself an apostolic assembly. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You need to first repent, and then you will be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you will be part of the body of Christ, and you should walk and continue in the doctrine of Christ. This is what he's warning us to do. If you have an ear, let him hear, that there's a time coming when there's going to be a man on this earth that is going to demand worship, and if you don't worship him, he's going to kill you. This is what the world is facing. This is the deception that the world is facing, and they're actually going to worship after this man, because they feel that he has what they need or has what they want. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And this is all talking about if you do not follow after this, you will have to be killed. You will have to be led into captivity. You will be tortured. You will be maimed. There will be many brutal things that will happen unto you, because you will have to die a martyr's death in that day. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. Now, it's very important to note, I don't believe I spoke on this the last time. Let's go back to the first verse in the 13th chapter, and it says, "And I stood on the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, you have to note what that sea denotes in biblical language. Sea refers to people. He rises out of the nations, amen? He rises out of among the people that dwell on the earth. This is not an actual sea that he rises up out of. This is not actual water, but it is the sea of humanity that this beast will rise up out of.
Right.
This is going to be a political beast because he's going to rise up through the governments, and he's going to be able to take over governmental powers in his reign.
Right. There's another biblical term also you'll see, too. It says the waters. And it even talked about Jesus having his voice was as the sound of many waters.
Yes, yes.
Then in another quote, John says, the waters that thou seest are people.
Yes, yes. And I believe that's in the seventh chapter of Revelation that he speaks of. I'm not sure on that the exact place of that right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it's the seventh chapter of Revelation that he talks about the waters being people. But moving on, let's go to the other beast. There's another beast that's going to rise up, but he's not rising up out of the sea of humanity, but he is rising up out of the earth. This is an earthly religious beast that is going to rise up and add onto the ministry of the political beast. These are not talking about beasts. These are talking about men. I want to make that very clear that these are talking about men that are going to rise to power. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He is going to look like Christ. He is going to look be beholden as Christ was, but he is going to speak as the devil.
Yes.
He is going to speak just like the devil with a lying tongue. Amen?
Right, yeah. I think this is one quote anyway. Maybe in another place too, but in 17th chapter of Revelation, these shall make war with the Lamb, the 14th verse, and shall overcome them, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
Yes.
So anyway, this is talking about Jesus. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest,
yes,
where the horse sitteth,
yes,
are peoples and multitudes,
yes,
and nations,
exactly,
and tongues.
That's exactly what I was looking for.
Yes.
So the waters, that relates back to that sea that the first beast is going to come up out of. It's going to be peoples and countries, government, that he is going to rise up out of. Now, the second beast is going to rise up again out of a religious power. He is going to look like Christ. He is going to speak like the devil, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and calls it the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. This is going to be a priesthood that is going to be established in order to worship the beast or worship the Antichrist. This is what this beast, this is what this second beast is going to establish, is an order of worship. He is going to establish a priesthood that is going to worship after this man, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And they're going to believe that this is of God, just as Elijah brought down fire upon the prophets of Baal. They are going to believe that this man is of God.
Mm-hmm.
But just as Elijah brought down fire, God allowed the devil to bring down fire upon Job in his day.
Mm-hmm.
So the devil has the power over fire coming out of heaven also. Just to let you know that this is not, this man may have wonders and great power, and he may look like he's of God. There's many false prophets out there that may look like they're of God. They may do great works. They may do great wonders. They may do things that are seemingly awesome, but they are not of God. Miracles do not denote that somebody is of God. Walking holy denotes that you are of God.
Right. And just like what happened in Ghana in 1978 when Jim Jones took all those people out there and deceived them, just like somebody said, that his one of his natural sons said that when Daddy started saying that he was God, he knew he was off.
Yes.
So you got to know God's word.
Amen.
Not to be deceived. Then, nowadays, and even in that day.
Amen.
And everybody's not going to be deceived.
Amen. And as we read on, it says in the 14th verse, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast." So everything that he had to do, everything that he was able to do, he had to do it in the presence of the Antichrist, because the Antichrist is going to be filled with the fullness of Satan. And that is where all the power derives from, is from the dragon or from the devil or from Satan. And so he had to do it all in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. So there is going to be an image. I mentioned the image that Nebuchadnezzar built in his day, and they all had to bow down and worship after this image. They are going to have to worship after this image, and this image is going to be a living image or a moving image. And there was many years where preachers had a tough time understanding how this image was going to be able to move, how this image was going to be able to have life substance to it. But we know in today's technological age that you can make anything move.
Mm.
You can give anything life. We can take any sort of picture and make it into a video, amen?
Mm.
We can do these things based on computer animation, based on the streaming and wireless technology that we have, that we possess with our cameras and with all the computer equipment that we have. We are able to give life unto images, amen? And this is exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be a screen that pops up, and that image is going to come forth, and everyone's going to have to bow down to that image. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So anybody that does not worship that image will be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be Bill Gates or some bum
right
on the corner of Michigan Avenue. You all have to receive the mark of the beast. You all have to receive that mark, which is going to be a chip inserted into your right hand or into your wrist, and or in the forehead. And everybody knows that there's retinal scans now that are very very capable and very refined, and that is denotes that your eyes and your forehead, and you know that that fulfills that scripture right there. And there's going to be computer chips implanted into your eye, implanted into your wrist, where you are, all business and all commerce is going to have to go through that chip. And you will not be able to buy or sell without that chip. You will not be able to do anything. In verse number 17, that no man shall buy or sell, save that he have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. People think that there's going to be 666 written in or sculpted or tattooed into people's wrists and people's foreheads. That is not so. I don't know of anybody that would willfully do that. But they are going to be deceived and knowing that they're going to have to take the number in order to do that, but rather it's not going to be just a plain number 666, but it can be numbers that add up to 666,
mm-hmm.
And a barcode will add the barcode that you will receive or the chip that you will receive will add up to the number of 666, and you will be forced to take that in order to live on the grid or live in the system that is going to be established. It's going to be a global system. We see with globalization today that everybody is not following after country. They're not following after nationality. They're following after corporation or corporate interests, and that corporations are going global and they are connecting with one another. And soon there will be a one world system. There will be a one world government. There will be commerce only going through. The money will be taken off of the market.
Right.
You will no longer have the euro. You will no longer have the dollar. You will no longer have the yuan. You will no longer have the yen. You will no longer have any of those currencies. But currency will all be through this computer chip that will be inserted into you, and you will have to purchase all of your goods through that. And all those goods are going to be a day's wages. We talked about that with the black horse, that he held scales in his hand, and that a penny for barley, a penny for wheat. We know that a penny in biblical language relates to a day's wages. So if you're going to work, you're just going to get enough to feed your family for that evening, and you will not be full. Everyone will be hungry. Everyone will be starving. Everyone will be famished, because there will be famine in the land.
Right.
And no matter if you're rich or poor,
right,
if you're rich, bread's going to cost you $1 million. But if you're poor, bread's going to cost you a penny. But in either way, it's going to be a day's wage.
Right. It's not going to be like it is now, how they raping us at the gas pumps with the prices. But only the people who penny pinching, the everyday working people feeling the pinch.
Mm-hmm.
But the rich people, they're making so much money, they don't even bother them.
And it's going to be a day where
totally
everyone's going to feel that pinch.
Exactly.
Everyone's going to
exactly
be feeling the hurt
right
in their life.
Right. I just want to say one more thing, because you talk about the number. So we got, I don't know about the number. I never really paid any attention as far as on the passport. But I do know on the driver's license or the state ID, and whoever you work for, you have an employee number. But there's one number that we all have, and that is the Social Security number.
Yes.
And I remember years ago they used to say they had a picture called Secret Agent Man, and they said giving you a number and take away your name. So people would say, like if someone goes to prison, they do have a number. But it don't matter if you bond or free, just like what he's saying here, everyone does have a number, whether you bond or free, even right now.
Amen.
And that's the Social Security number.
Amen. So we want to give that warning that a one-world government and a one-world currency is coming, and that you should be aware of those things. And if you get caught up in that system, you are going to have to follow after that system or else be killed. We want to skip ahead, though, and look to the end of this ministry, knowing that the book of the Revelation goes back and forth in its visions. We read in the sixth chapter where the second coming of Jesus Christ came. I believe also in the 14th chapter and the 16th chapter there's visions of it. But we want to look in the 19th chapter and look at the vision of the second coming of Christ after the marriage of the Lamb and the marriage of the bridegroom and the bride, the church being the bride and the Lord himself being the bridegroom. We are going to be married unto the Lord and have a bond that will last for eternity. But as we move on, in the 19th chapter of the Revelation, it says in the 10th verse, or 9th verse, it says, "And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." Worship God. Worship God, saints. Yeah. Worship God, people of the world. Worship God, and you will receive the things that God has in store for you. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And we wanted to, I wanted to touch on that really quickly. There's many that claim themselves to be prophets in this land. There's many that claim to be true prophets. But we know that a true prophet has the spirit of Jesus in him, because the spirit of Jesus, or the Holy Ghost, is the spirit of prophecy.
Yeah.
And if you do not truly possess this spirit, you cannot be a true prophet. The prophets of old had the Holy Ghost come down upon them.
Right.
They would see their visions, they would write their visions, and then the Holy Ghost would come up off of them. In this day and age, the spirit comes inside of us and stays and dwells with us. So we have the power of prophecy. But prophecy is all according to the word of God. Even the prophets of old had to look back in scriptures before them to see those things that were before and what the visions that they were receiving even meant. So we have to, it is very important to understand that the spirit of the prophet judges the prophet, and that if you do not follow after the prophecies, if you do not follow after the words that God has spoken through the prophets, if you are not able to understand the prophecies and rightly divide those prophecies, you are not a true prophet. And if they are messing up prophecies, if they are not following after the prophecies, if they do not understand them, they cannot call themselves a true prophet, and you should not follow after those prophets, because they are indeed false prophets. If they are not able to understand the visions of Isaiah, they're not a true prophet. If they're not able to follow after the visions of Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Daniel, they are not true prophets. If they cannot rightly divide this book of the Revelation, because this book is a book of prophecy, they are not a true prophet. You have to judge the prophet according to how they should be judged. Amen?
Amen.
So now, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and Jesus is speaking this entire book. He is giving the words to John to write down. And I saw heaven open up, in the 11th verse, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. This is not the same white horse that was in the 6th chapter. This is the true white horse. This is the true rider of the white horse. This is true peace coming into the earth. Although he brings war at this time, he is going to establish peace. He was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed and with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. This reveals who this writer is, the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. We know that the word translates into logos, meaning the thought of thought, but we know that there's no thought without a thinker, and the thinker that thought the thought thought of himself and developed an image before the foundation of the world, before the plan, and he was able to slay that image before the foundation of the world, because he knew that the creation that was going to be created was going to fall out of favor, and that he was going to have to be redeemed. So he had a redeemer before you even born. He had a redeemer before we even fell. He had a redeemer before we were even thought of or even made upon this earth.
Mm-hmm.
This is that word that is going to exit himself out of heaven, step off of his throne. Although he was sitting as the lion of the tribe of Judah, he stood up as the lamb. He stayed the same. He did not cease from being the lion of the tribe of Judah. Although he came out as the rider of the white horse, the word of God, he still was the Father sitting on the throne. He is what he is. He has the ability to become whatever he chooses to be. I am that I am. Although I am the Lamb, I still am the high priest. Although I am the high priest, I am the king sitting upon the throne. Although I am the bread, I am the house, I am the door, I am the shepherd, I am the Lamb. I am all of those things that you need me to be. I have the ability to become. I can choose whatever I want to be, yet I never cease from being that which I was.
Yeah.
I am that which was, which is, and is to come. I am all of those things. I am not constrained by time. I am the true and living God.
Right. Just like he told the Jews, I believe in the 8th chapter of St. John, when they was talking about their father Abraham, and you're not even 50 years old. Amen. Have you seen Abraham? And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
I am. I am that I am.
Yeah.
This is the revelation that I am that I am.
Yes.
And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Those armies are the church. If you look in, I believe it's the book of Jude, he says that the saints of God follow after him at his coming, and we are going to be as the angels. According to the prophecy, according to Zechariah, we are going to be in that army coming with him back to this earth to take this earth back for the Lord.
Yeah, said Enoch prophesied of these, behold, the Lord cometh
yes.
with 10,000s of his saints.
Yes, and so yes. That number denotes not just that there's 10,000 saints, but there's 10,000s
right,
of saints.
Yeah, some, yeah.
And that there are many saints, all according to the number which God has preordained. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We do not know that number. We cannot label that number to be 144,000, as some religions do. That 144,000, I believe we've talked about, that is not talking about the church, but that is talking about 12,000 out of each tribe of Israel.
Yes.
That was deemed holy and dedicated unto God. So the armies followed after him in clothed white linen. That means that there's righteousness upon them, and they're spotless and blameless. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule over them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress and the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. He was the wrath of God poured out upon men. He is the final judgment in this tribulation period. And then after this, as we skip down into the 20th verse, before that we want to look, he had a vesture. He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then in the 19th verse, it says, and I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered to make war against him that sat upon the horse and against his army. He is going to lead them into the valley of Jehoshaphat. He is going to lead them into the valley of Megiddo, or the land of Armageddon. And that is where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. It's going to take place for one day. And he is going to destroy those armies. He is first going to land upon the Mount of Olives and split the Mount of Olives in two.
Mm-hmm.
That is, again, according to the prophecy, according to Zechariah, he is going to land on that Mount of Olives. Just as he left from the Mount of Olives, he is
mm-hmm.
going to return to the Mount of Olives. That is what the angel told the apostles in
mm-hmm.
the first chapter of Acts.
Same Jesus.
That the same Jesus is going to return in like manner, and that he will split and rent that mountain in two. The armies will lead through that pathway that is created into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there's going to be a wine press, and he is going to destroy those armies. Amen. In the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, he says, who is this that cometh with dyed garments from Bozra, able to make war, amen.
Mm-hmm.
This is that. This is he, amen.
Yeah.
This is he who's mighty in power, amen.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to know that this war is going to take place, this battle is going to take place for one day, and those armies are going to be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
Verse number 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and had them worship his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon his horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with flesh. The first two beings that are going to be cast into the lake of fire, or cast into Gehenna, cast into hell itself, where it will open up at the mouth of Babylon. The first two beings that are going to enter into is the beast and the false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else. These are going to be the only two that stay there for 1,000 years.
Cast them alive.
They were cast them alive to be tormented forevermore. And as we go into the 20th chapter, the devil will be bound for 1,000 years. Christ will establish what is called the millennial kingdom. He will sit upon his throne for 1,000 years, but then after 1,000 years, the devil will be loose for a little season, and he will gather once again up armies to go up against Jesus Christ, and he will be defeated once again. And then after that, in the third verse of the 20th chapter, it says, and he cast them into the bottomless pit. That's not what I want, but he goes... verse number 7, 1,000 years expired, Satan was loosed out of his prison, and he should go out to deceive the nations. Verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is the third being that is going to be cast into the lake of fire, is the devil himself. And then after that, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, Jesus Christ. We read this in the book of, in the sixth chapter, where they tried to run into the rocks and hide from them.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to flee from them, but there's no way for you to go, amen. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. What books are those? These 66 books of judgment that I'm reading from today, they're going to be judged according to their knowledge of these books. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And if you are not written in that book of life, if you worship after that image, if you worship after that beast, you are not in that book of life, and you will be cast into hell along with the beast, the false prophet, and the devil himself, amen. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. So everyone that is in the grave shall hear the voice of God in that day, and they shall be raised up and stand before the great white throne of judgment. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is your ultimate judgment if you do not follow after the will of God, if you do not follow after what God has in store for mankind today. He commanded all men to repent. Repent on this day. Be baptized in the of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You will be in grace if you continue in this word, if you continue in this doctrine, if you continue in this way. There is a way for you out. You do not have to be subject to this judgment right here, but you can be saved on this day.
Yeah.
Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you can start as a new creature in Christ. Find yourself an apostolic church that after this mold, and ye shall be saved. In Jesus' name, be blessed.
Amen. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. Hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.